So it's springtime. It's the season of graduation. Maybe you're about to graduate from college. Got your first job lined up yet? As you prepare to make your first step on the ladder of success, there is a good chance you may be somebody's assistant. I was quite a few times, actually. And there have been a couple of high-profile moments involving assistants in the last couple of weeks, like this YouTube video of scorned wife Trisha Walsh Smith. Have you seen this? It's crazy. Getting revenge on her soon-to-be ex-husband, Philip, through his assistant. Let's listen.
He's got Viagra and condoms and stuff here and porn movies. Just ask him what he wants me to do with them. Would you?
Wait.
Do you want me to
ask him this now?
Poor woman.
Oh, she comes off great.
Oh, man. Then there's this moment from the Howard Stern Show a little over a week ago. Howard's comic sidekick, Artie Lang, had words with his assistant, Teddy, and then things got a little intense.
I hate you, Teddy.
Really, yeah.
Hey, No, Artie, stop it.
That's what Morning Edition sounds like. We just don't play that part. Renee and Steve going at it.
So both of those incidents were featured on a blog called Save the Assistants. It's a forum created for, quote, all disgruntled coffee fetchers, copy makers, and general office slaves. And any bosses who decide to take a look might find it a bit illuminating. Lilit Marcus is the editor of SaveTheAssistants.com, and she joins us in studio right now. Thanks for coming in, Lilit.
Thanks for having me.
So your first job was as an assistant. You did that job for less than a year. But it caused so many internal scars in you that you felt the need to start this blog. What happened?
Well, it's funny. I think the reason I started this blog is a combination of my first job was so terrible and my second wasn't. I realized that not every assistant job has to be horrible.
Because if your first job, you might not know, oh, I don't have to be treated like an indentured slave.
Right. I mean, for one thing, I had just moved to New York, so I thought all jobs in New York were that way, and that I was going to be miserable no matter what I did. And I also thought that that was the way assistant jobs were supposed to be. But I was working for this guy who, on the site, we have a section called the Bossery, the Bad Boss Glossary, where we explain some of the most common types. And mine was a past their prime. I was working for a guy who is about 72 and refused to retire, and he owned a part stake of the company, so they couldn't get rid of him. And they hired me ostensibly to be a receptionist, but on my first day I showed up and they said, oh, by the way, surprise, you're also going to be this guy's assistant. And they were trying to demote him by giving him a part-time assistant.
And what's so bad about that? You think, maybe, you know, kind of low pressure.
Right, I thought I'll be this guy's part-time assistant,
yeah.
I'll get to some more interesting things than just being a receptionist, this will be great. And I didn't realize that he, before me, had never had a part-time assistant before. He'd always had someone waiting on him hand and foot and was not used to making the change after 40 years of having an assistant.
How terrible. You were punishment.
You were punishment
for this guy. Unreal.
I was the living representation of his status in the
company. Of his demotion,
he must
have
loved that.
Yeah, that's not fun. That bossery is pretty funny. There are some other monikers that you've developed. The functional illiterate. Can you explain what's the boss that
qualifies for this? As technology changes so quickly, people have a hard time adapting if they've gotten used to something. My boss literally used to ask me to send telegrams to people. I didn't know what a telegram was, except that there's a reference to one in 16 going on 17 in The Sound of Music. He used to ask me to call information and get people's phone numbers, so I would tell him, oh, sure, of course, and sneak out to my desk and then use Google.
To use the World Wide Web.
Did he make you express telephone numbers as Olympic 45392? Baldwin 50? What do you mean 543?
No, Klondike 555.
What about the martyr? Explain what kind of boss is the martyr.
Well, that's an interesting case, the martyr. In some cases, the boss is willing to take on some of the responsibilities that you would normally have to do, a lot of the day-to-day boring tasks, which you at first think is great,
yeah.
And then it turns into, oh, I am so poor and suffering, and it becomes that the boss really wants you to feel sorry for them. In this bizarre way, and that they want to show everybody what a noble person they are for enduring all of this pain and suffering.
Oh, there's so much psychology involved in all of this. The top story on your site today, it comes from an assistant who calls herself Jessica, who says on day one of her job, she knew there was trouble when her boss introduced her as her second assistant. Explain this story.
Well, a lot of people, I'm sure you guys have seen The Devil Wears Prada, and a lot of executives and higher-ups have two assistants if there's just so much work to be done. And often the first assistant is somebody who's more likely to get promoted within the company and often was the second assistant before. So all the sort of menial phone dialing tasks fall to the second assistant. But what's interesting about this story is, so Jessica got introduced as the second assistant, but there was no first assistant. And when she asked her boss...
Like, there wasn't. They just hadn't hired it. There was no position.
The position did not exist.
Did not exist.
And it's like sodas, where the smallest size is medium. It yeah. doesn't make sense.
So the assistant asks, you know, is there something going on here? And the boss says, you're not good enough to be my assistant, so I'm going to tell everyone you're my second assistant, and I just hired you because they need a warm body in that desk outside my door.
Now, as someone who has studied this industry, would you tell Jessica, you know what, at that point, get out of there. Quit.
It's a tough call. I hate to say it, but a lot of people stay in the assistant jobs that they stay in because they're in a really competitive industry. It's very exclusive, and this is the only chance they have to get their foot in the door because they're not related to anybody and they don't have any connections. So, unfortunately, you have to make an evaluation really early on. If you think it's something that you can tolerate for 6 months or a year or however long you think you need to stay in it, or if you immediately realize this is the wrong industry for you.
Then again, there is that phenomenon of kids just graduated from college and they don't know what work is like. It's like, yeah, I got news for you.
Well, is that...
Jobs aren't fun.
You know, is there some of that? Do you hear gripes and you think, okay, people, you know, you do kind of have to suck it up and realize this is your first job.
Right. And I think
you're not being verbally abused here.
I think there's a phenomenon out there. I can speak for myself. When I graduated from college, they don't teach you job skills in college. They don't teach you how to work in an office. I could make an Excel spreadsheet like nobody's business, but I couldn't handle someone throwing a coffee cup at my head.
And did someone really throw a coffee cup?
Yeah.
This person who had the telegram situation?
The telegram guy.
Yeah. Styrofoam or ceramic?
Ceramic.
Oh, man.
I have great reflexes. So
is insane.
Did it say world's greatest grandpa?
No, his grandkids hated him.
So what do you tell assistants? What's the overwhelming complaint? I mean, is it just that assistants are they are being treated as kind of slaves, indentured servitude? They've been kind of contracted into this life and it didn't meet their expectations? Or are they really being abused?
I think if I had to look at the horror stories that we get, and if I had to look at a theme in them, I would say it's not being treated like a human being. I don't think there's anything wrong with at your first job. You're going to make some coffee. You are going to have to file things. You will make some copies. None of these things are out of the realm of what an assistant starting out in an industry should do. But it's when no one bothers to learn your name and they just refer to you as, hey, you, because they figured you're going to get canned in 6 weeks like everybody else, that we start to have a problem. And if I had to look at the themes of all the assistants who write in, it's things like getting called the second assistant when there is no first assistant immediately sets you off on, this person doesn't care about me.
Just these minor, meaningless, demeaning things that don't mean anything except to put the assistant down. Don't help the business overall. Yeah.
Can bosses learn something from your website quickly?
I certainly hope so. If I were a boss, I would take a look at Save the Assistants and think, here's what not to do. But it's also a matter of the younger generation is different, and how is the workplace going to adapt to suit all of these people?
Well, we appreciate you coming into the studio. Lily Marcus is the editor of SaveTheAssistants.com. Some very funny and almost tragic stories on there, really. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Not tragic enough so that they're not funny. They're
That's
funny.
That's true. They're really funny.
They're a lot funnier when you don't have them.
Is it art or shock art or art shock or Artie Lang, or is it obscene? So many questions about art to be answered, and we'll attempt to bring those answers to you. And our producer, Ian Chillog, ran the Boston Marathon. He didn't get a kiss from the Wellesley girls at Heartbreak Hill. His girlfriend was watching his marathon tale coming up. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.